last weekend. And so way to go, ladies who put that on. There were no ladies harmed in the filming of that, I don't think. You should have seen that fire. It was awesome. the stack was probably right in here before they lit it, and then it went like 20 feet above that. You couldn't literally, like where the sign is in the yard, I could still feel the heat from it. It was awesome. Anybody have a testimony? Testimony of what the Lord's done. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. I'm thankful. You know, we had the event last night, and that was kind of an outreach event. And it kind of evolved as we got closer, as they canceled the stuff downtown, which I guess still went on, but or some of it did. It was really a cool time. I was watching some of the younger kids hunt some of the candy. What we did was we threw the candy out in the yard. We did this yard here, and we did this one over here. And then they had some flashlights that they were going and finding the candy and then putting it in their bag. And so it was really kind of different for them, but also familiar because of eggs, you know, when we hunt the Easter eggs. But it was in the dark, and so it was kind of neat. And it was funny because I'm watching them, like, I noticed they were leaving the Tootsie Rolls. And then a couple kids were like, wait a second, they're leaving all the Tootsie Rolls. I can do Tootsie Rolls. And so they went back through and gathered a few kids. It was just neat. It was funny. And it was a great time. We got to, you know, meet a few new families. Matter of fact, there's a whole bunch of new families that we had last night. So we might see them here at the church. I believe we'll have one family in particular of four that will be coming next Sunday. That's what he said anyway. We'll see. Anything else? Any other? Yeah.
I just praise God for my Sunday school class. I have the sixth clear through graduation. They see who can find the scripture first so they can read it. And if I put the exact address on the board, they'll have the scripture before we even ready for it. So I can only tell them what book to go to.
There you go. Teenagers.
Hey, it's awesome.
That's right. Yeah. That is awesome. Praise the Lord. Okay, if you have your Bibles, we're going to kind of bounce around a little bit. And the reason we're going to bounce around is because I want to show you that it wasn't just one verse. It was multiple verses, and so we're going to look at this theme right here. The Lord fights our battles. Kind of feel like we've had a few battles this year, haven't we? And they might not be over. I don't know. I'm not sure what's coming down the road. I do know there's some things I do know. Jesus is coming back. The tribulation is going to happen. I just don't know when those things are going to take place or what's going to happen in between now and then, right? But we don't need to worry because he knows. So I want to share this tonight, these scriptures tonight, because really we're in a fight. And most of you probably heard me say this before: keep the gloves on. We're in the ring, no matter where we are. Keep the gloves on. Now, I'm not talking about against each other, which can happen some of the time, right? Sometimes things get blown out of proportion, and then we're in each other's faces. And so, the Lord fights our battles. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 14. As you know, this is referring to, this is the time when Moses, God had used Moses, God did all these, sent all these plagues against Egypt, and Pharaoh finally said, all right, get out of here. And that was at the cost of his firstborn son, along with the other Egyptians' firstborn. And so here the Israelites have left Egypt. they painted the, you know, their doorpost with the blood, and asked the Egyptians as they were heading out, hey, I don't know how that went down exactly, but hey, do you have anything you want to give us? I don't know, but they gave them all kinds of gold and all kinds of stuff. And so they're going out, they're leaving Egypt, they get to the Red Sea, and they're kind of boxed in because in here comes the Egyptians, right? Can you imagine the, I would say fear would probably be the right word. Moses, hello, hey, we don't, they're in chariots and horses, and we're on our feet, and there isn't anywhere to go. Can you picture that naturally speaking? What are we going to do? And then here's what Moses says. Well, Moses went to the Lord, right? And God said, hey, Moses, what's in your hand? What does that mean? I think that means, hey, I've already given you what you need. I've already given you what you need to overcome this. Then Moses turns to the people. Well, God has said, you know, raise that, remember that stick that turned into the snake? Yeah, the staff. Thank you. Yeah, stick, that's crazy. Come on, Pastor. So he raises his... Yeah. You weren't looking at me. It's okay. I cued you. So he raises his staff, the Red Sea parts, right? But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. You know they found some chariots at the bottom of that body of water? That's pretty neat if you ask me. You can try to contradict the word of God. You can't do it because it's God's word. It's eternal. And God doesn't lie. And so it's wonderful. And so God said, hey, Moses told the people, don't be afraid. We shouldn't be walking around in fear as his people. We don't know what's coming all the time. I don't know who's going to get elected on Tuesday. But regardless, Jesus is still on the throne. I did not pay her to say that. Regardless of who wins, Jesus is still on the throne. And God's still in charge. Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue today. Now we're going to look at another account where they weren't to just stand still. And so it kind of depends on what the Lord says to do, right? What a wonderful idea to listen to the Lord. I'm talking to me too, right? What a great idea. Let's look at the next verse. The next verse, the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Isn't that comforting and encouraging? I'm not alone. God's going to fight for me. Oh, hey, New Testament. He's given us armor for the fight. The armor of God. What are those components in the armor of God? What do we have up here? Helmet of salvation. That's the next one. Next one goes right here. Breastplate of what? Yeah. We have to know that we're saved. We have to live like we're saved. We have to think like we're saved. We have to act like we're saved. Righteousness. We've got to believe it in our heart that Jesus makes us righteous before God. and live that way as well. What do we have right here? Belt of what? You're getting half of it right every time. Belt of truth. We get truth from God. We get truth from His Word. What else do we have? Let's do these. Boots. Boots. And there, different translations kind of vary quite a bit here. Boots that come in the readiness of the gospel of peace. In other words, we're walking as servants of the gospel and as bearers of the gospel. We're helping other people come into a recognition of who Jesus is. See what else we have. We have shield of faith. We got this is interactive. I'm loving this. Shield of faith. And what does that shield do? It says it extinguishes. It stops the fiery darts of the enemy. Guess what? You got darts coming your way. Arrows. They're on fire. He wants to poison you. The devil wants to take us out. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We're in a fight. Keep the gloves on. Keep your hands up. If you're in a fight and you have your hands down here, you're going to get hit in the face. Yes. Good point. Sorry, that one went down the wrong pipe. And it goes in my right hand. Do you know what it is? That sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What did Jesus use when he was in a fight with the devil? I mentioned the first fight this morning. He used the Word. The devil used the Word too. Can I remind you of that? The devil used that. Yeah, and he was twisting it. Jesus, doesn't it say that you could turn that bread in, I'm sorry, those rocks into bread? No. That's not what it says. That's not what it means. You deceiver. Jesus went back to the Word every time. But understand, the enemy knows the Word too. So we have to we have to be wise. We have to be discerning, which is why we need the sword of the Spirit to help us. Brother Jim was just telling me earlier before service how the Holy Spirit had opened up his eyes to a particular scripture. That is powerful, that is wonderful, and it's necessary to our life. And it's wonderful when we're reading through and God kind of highlights stuff and helps our hearts to grasp it and understand. And as we talked about a few weeks ago, there is, I think that there's a difference between knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. They're all very closely related. But knowledge, if all you have is knowledge, you're not necessarily using it, unfortunately. But to understand, to have knowledge, and then understand the knowledge is another thing. And then I think that wisdom is applying the knowledge and the understanding to our life in order to live by it. And so that is beneficial, and we get that through the Word of God. So back to we're in a fight. God has given us, he says he's going to help fight our battles, and he helps us with that every single day in the armor of God. Excuse me. He helps us every day because he gives us that armor, and we do well to recall that and remember that and walk in it. I don't know that that's something that you need to put on every single day. I had a friend in Bible school. He said, a couple of us were talking about, oh yeah, we put the armor on every day. And this other friend, he says, well, I just don't ever take mine off. So, you know what? However it is to your faith, and then that you go for that. Deuteronomy chapter 20. when you go out to fight your enemies, again, our enemies are not flesh and blood enemies, okay? Ephesians tells us that. Our enemies are the principalities and powers of this world. When you go out to fight your enemies and you face horses, hang on, the enemies here were, this was Old Testament. The Israelites were getting ready to go and inhabit some of the promised land. Okay, and God was saying, hey, you're getting ready to go into there and you're going to have to fight some people and you're going to have to kick them out or whatever. And, and kill them most of the time. And so God is preparing them. But it's interesting what he says. When you go out to fight your enemies, you face horses and chariots and an army, listen to this, and an army greater than your own. When they're clearly big enough to whoop up on you, when you go and it looks, and you're probably going to lose in the natural, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There it is again. They tell me, I haven't looked at it. I think it depends on which version you look at. But they tell me that don't fear, don't be afraid is in there like for every day of the year. Once for every day of the year. That'd be 365 times unless it's leap year. And then there's an extra one. Okay. Don't be afraid. He says, even if you go out to war and they're clearly big, way, way bigger than you or stronger than you, or they have the chariots and you have just foot soldiers, don't worry about it. Don't you worry about it. Are you hearing this? The Lord your God, it just got good. The Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt is with you. Wherever we go, right? Wherever we go, the Lord is with us. Unless, of course, we're like Jonah and we went the other way. God was still there. He did this to a fish. His puppet. And guess where Jonah ended up? Out of that fish's mouth on the shore real close to Nineveh. I would think so. I would think it was very disgusting. The Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt is with you. Man, that is encouraging and comforting to me to know that God's with me wherever I go, to know that God's with me. And I did this when we were down for a couple weeks, one of the Wednesday night's videos that I did, a short video. God wants to direct our steps. I believe that he does. I believe with all my heart that he wants to guide us. He wants to direct us. And he will. The key is learning to listen to him and learning to just allow him to do that and allow him to direct us and guide us. Kind of like when you're walking through the mall with your kid, your younger kids or grandkids, and you kind of direct them. Your hand on their back, kind of in between the shoulder blade, and you kind of just, okay, we're going this way, or we're going this, you know what I'm saying? Almost like reins on a horse, but you're just guiding that kid. You didn't even have to say much. And of course, it depends on how many other people are around or whatever, but you just kind of, let's go this way, and they feel it, and then, okay, we're going this way. You know what I'm saying? And I think that the Lord can do us that way as well. Matter of fact, I believe it because I feel like that he's done that with me. And he is with us. And I love it. Even if they're bigger than you are, even if there's more of them, even if they have better gear. Exactly. Don't be afraid because the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt is with you. See, go on to the next verse. When you prepare for battle, the priest must come forward to speak to the troops. As I was reading and studying for this a little bit, they were saying that there was potentially some of the Jewish people had kind of passed on that there was a war priest. I'm just throwing that out there because I hadn't ever heard of that before. I would have to look into it a little bit more, but it could be very interesting. Anyway, this priest would come forward and speak to those troops. In verse 3, he will say to them, "Listen to me, all you men of Israel. Do not be afraid as you go out to fight your enemies today." There it is again. Are we getting the picture? And again, too often we're all stressed out and worried. And what do we have to be afraid of? Really, the only thing that we have to be afraid of is not living for God. That's the only thing. So, but if we're living for Him and we're doing our best to serve Him and follow Him, then He's got us in the palm of His hand, doesn't He? Right there. "Listen to me, all you men of Israel. Do not be afraid as you go out to fight your enemies today. Do not lose heart or panic or tremble before them." Isn't that encouraging? In other words, there's no need to be worried. There's no need to fear. There's no need to panic. There's no need to tremble. Because I'm with you, he said. God's with us. God is with us. Verse 4, "For the Lord your God is going with you. He will fight for you against your enemies, and He will give you victory." Now, was it Wednesday night? We talked about the Psalms where it says that God is invincible in battle. He doesn't lose. I love it. I love it. And you thought Mike Tyson was special. No. Oh, goodness. I wouldn't have wanted to get in the ring with him, that's for sure. But God is greater. He is invincible in battle. And you know what? When we do things God's way, He gives us victory. And it's interesting because sometimes we don't win. Pastor, why is that? I don't know. It could be there might be sin in our life. It could be we didn't listen to God. David did that a few times. Other kings did that a few times. They went with the flow. They went they would go join with other kings, and they didn't consult the Lord. And they'd lose. But even through that, we can still win, because then we learn who God is, and we say, "Oh man, I goofed up. I need to make certain that I'm following the Lord and consulting Him. Should I go, or should I go and do this, or should I not?" But God wins every time. He will fight. He will fight our battles. He will give us victory. He will fight against our enemies. A case in point, Daniel. Remember Daniel? He had prayed, and like 3 weeks later, he gets an answer. And the answer was, "Hey, yeah, I sent. I'm sorry, I want to say Michael. Was it Michael? I sent the angel Michael, and he's been battling this other principality or power, and but he's going to come through." Interesting, huh? The Lord was fighting the battle for Daniel. Very, very interesting. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 22. Again, I'm just showing this multiple cases where God says the same stuff. So we are not trying to take it out of context. "Do not be afraid of the nations there." Again, this was in the land of Canaan where they were headed, in the promised land. "Do not be afraid of the nations there, for the Lord your God will fight for you." God is with us. Amen. Joshua chapter 23 and verse 10. You're going to like this one. Oh, Lord, let this be reality for us. "Each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemy. For the Lord your God fights for you just as He has promised." Again, He fights for us. And I love this because Because he's saying, you're gonna put 1,000 of them to flight. 1,000 of them are going to be running away from you. Ah! Here they come. Here comes Janet Hunt. Let's get out of here. She's in prayer mode. You know? Let's get out of here. Just the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. I think that's why it's important for us to pray in the Spirit. It's important. It's important for us to pray in the Spirit. Let's turn to Judges chapter 7. This is one of my favorite. I don't know. It's hard to pick a favorite Bible story, isn't it? I struggle with it. This is one of my favorites. I have several. This is one of them. I love the account of Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10. I love that stuff because the moving of the Holy Spirit in that. And I like this one. This is the account of Gideon. And as you know, many of you know, Gideon was just he was nobody special. Can anybody relate? He was just a guy. Just a guy. He didn't grow up in a castle, a palace. He was just tending the land, possibly trying to make. He was by a wine press when the angel showed up. Out by himself working, and he says, one version says, "Hey, mighty hero." Another one says, "Hey, mighty man of valor." And here's what I think. I wasn't there, but here's what I think Gideon did. He's got to be talking about somebody else. Who else is around here? I thought I was by myself. Who are you talking to? You're not talking to me. No, it's you I'm talking to. And so then the Lord began to guide Gideon and give him some instructions, and those instructions included getting an army together to defeat the Midianites who had been bullying them, and they had a large army. If I'm not mistaken, it was over 120,000, maybe 132 or 135,000. So Gideon, God instructs Gideon, you know about the fleece. He puts this out. God, is this really you? If it is, do this. And then the next day, God, if that's really you, then do the opposite of what you already did. And so he just needed, and God did that. You know what? What we can learn from that is God knows where we are in our faith, and it's okay sometimes. This morning we mentioned praying specifically. It's okay to ask God. Jesus said in his pattern prayer, give us today our daily bread. It's okay to ask God. Jesus said it elsewhere. He said, ask, seek, and knock. In other words, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. It's okay to ask God. And so Gideon says, hey, God, will you, I want to know that this is you. And I don't know, maybe I want to know it's you and not the pizza from last night, or I don't know what it was exactly. But God knew where Gideon was in his faith, and God was okay with that. And he did it not once, but twice. Now, Gideon might have been pushing it on the third time, I don't know. But so he begins to gather and kind of spread the word. Hey, we got to get an army. God wants us to go and kick these Midianites out of here. And so folks volunteer. Men begin to volunteer for this military service. And then God says, hey, you have too many. Tell them that if anybody wants to go home, they can go home. If anybody's afraid or they have to tend to something, they can go home. So several of them, I want to say 10,000, 20,000? Go home. I read it right before service, and I don't remember. Sorry. Huh? Okay. Yeah, wires. So there, he only has, he had 30 or 32,000. Now he's only got 10,000. They say was in the other army? 120 and probably plus, because in the next chapter it says there were some others who had gotten away, I think. So anyway, God says, that's still just way too many. I think God likes to show off sometimes. He likes to show off his muscles. And that's what he was doing in Gideon's account. That's what he did. That's what he did with Israel and in Egypt. He hardened Pharaoh's heart, it says, so that everybody would understand who God was. Not because God's wicked or evil, but he wanted everybody to understand. And then, in the account of the spies went to Rahab, she said, everybody's terrified of you guys. We've heard what God, your God did in Egypt, and then even you guys walked, we heard you walk through dry ground, in through the Red Sea on dry ground. She said, yeah, I'll tell you whatever you want. I'll hide you. And God honored her, didn't he? That's a pretty neat story. She had some faith. Yeah, likely. So God says, Gideon, hey, man, you still have way too many people. Here's what I want you to do. Have them go get a drink down here. And the ones who drink this way, you can send them home. And the ones who drink this way, you'll keep. Those who got down on their face and got down in the water, they were the ones that needed to go home because they weren't as observant. Okay, and the others would get down and they still had their sword handy and they would drink the water like this and still they could still see and get around and not be attacked. They could get up if they were somebody came, they could get up quickly. And so it ended up being that he only had Gideon's army was only 300 people. And God said, because Gideon, if you before God dwindled it down to 300, he said, because Gideon, you know what? If when you win, the people, my people, could misunderstand and think that they did it all on their own. How would that work even if 10,000 people, even with 20,000 people against 120,000 people? But God wanted to show off, I think. God wanted to show off, and so he says, Gideon, you need to do it again. He did. He has 300 left. 300 soldiers left. And I just love the story because it was what? Yeah, which ended up being a ratio of like 1 to 400 of the enemies, give or take. So I love it because Gideon was still struggling like, God, how's this going to work? God told him to go down to the enemy camp, just outside the enemy camp, to go and kind of hide away, and God was going to prove it to him. So he goes down and he gets a friend, another soldier, and he goes down, and they're there and they're kind of like listening, and they overhear. I love the Lord; he's so faithful. They overhear the enemy. A couple of men in the enemy army on the outskirts of their camp. They're probably hiding in a bush, and these guys are kind of walking by. Oh, man, I had this dream last night. Oh, yeah? What was your dream? Well, I'm trying to remember, this barley, this loaf of barley rolls down the hill and knocks down all our tents. Barley was the common... The poor choice of food, by the way, kind of signifying that Gideon wasn't anybody special, except that he was special to God. And the friend that heard it, the Midianite friend that he was telling this his dream to, he says, "Oh my, You know what? This can only mean one thing. Yeah, what's that? God's going to deliver us into Gideon's hand. And God lets Gideon hear this. And Gideon's like, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, let's go. We can go home now. I've heard all I need to hear. God's done it. They even think that God's done it. I wonder if they thought they believed before Gideon did. Oh, goodness. God, and you know the rest of the story, God strategically places them in three groups of 100, and they break some lamps and some at night, and the Midianite army just kind of goes berserk and starts killing each other. Incredible. We're going to move on to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is concerning King Jehoshaphat. And in verse 14 it says, because they were being threatened to be attacked by an enemy army. And here in verse 14 it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing nearby. His name, we won't get into that. There's too many names right there I can't pronounce. I'm sorry. Verse 15 on the next slide. He said, listen, this is what the man that the Spirit of the Lord came upon. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says, do not be afraid of their threats, right? They're threatening to come and attack, threatening war. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army. The prophet, the Lord, through the prophet, acknowledges that they're a mighty army. But when you compare that mighty army to the mighty Creator, no comparison, right? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. It's not your battle. You know what? We're trying to be a light of Jesus Christ to our friends, our neighbors. Hey, my neighbor was here this morning in the second service, sat right over here. Julie, it was wonderful. Great to see her. I didn't get to talk to her afterwards, did you? Yeah, okay. So we just rejoice, and here he's saying, guys, again, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, even though they are strong. This is my battle. Not yours. You and I are trying to represent the Lord. And you know what? That's going to upset, irritate some people. Have you ever noticed that? Some people don't like it that you serve the Lord so faithfully. Why do you go to church? Do you go to church every Sunday? Why do you do that? Isn't that a waste of time? You probably give them a lot of money too, don't you? And they think we're silly. It's not your battle. It's the Lord's battle. You just be faithful, honor the Lord, and you know what? Love that person. It's okay. You don't have to agree with them and everything, but love them. We're going to try to continue to represent the Lord. And in verse 16, tomorrow, God's, the prophet's still speaking. He says, speaking what God was saying, tomorrow march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. God gave them specific instructions. It wasn't, this time it wasn't just to be still. This time here's what I want you to do. I want you to go over here. Because guess what? The Lord directs our steps. We need to be in the right place at the right time. Verse 17. But you won't even need to fight. You just need to be there. I just want you there, probably to see, to watch, so their faith would be encouraged and strengthened. But you won't even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. Stand still and watch the Lord's victory. Hallelujah. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. I hope somebody's hearing this tonight. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. God is faithful. He's powerful. He's mighty. And he's with us, church. He is for us and not against us. Amen? We're going to skip down to verse 21. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers. Oh, check it out. We got to get the important people up to the front. I say important people because they're the ones that lead in worship. They're the one that lead the people in praise, because guess what? That's how we fight our battles nowadays, is through praise and through prayer. We don't fight with a literal sword or a bow or a gun. We fight spiritual battles with spiritual weapons. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. But wait, couldn't they have been in danger? I don't know. But that's what God said. That's what God directed them to do through the king. And he said, get those singers up to the front. We got to give God some praise. See how powerful praise is? The king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor, for who he is, for what he does. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. Hallelujah. That's some good stuff right there. Verse 22, at the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. I certainly hope you're getting that. When Larry Terry starts strumming that rascal, when Emily starts playing, or Judy, get your praise on. Get your praise on. You know what? Most of that stuff, or all of that stuff, can melt away, and it's now in the past. At that moment, because we say, Lord, you're so much greater than that. Yeah, God, I got stuff going on in my brain, and it's been bothering me. But Lord, I want to focus on you right now, because you're greater and you're bigger and you're mightier and you're with me and you're for me. And you said not to be afraid. So Lord, I'm not going to be afraid. Instead, Lord, I'm going to give you my praise, because you're greater, you're bigger, you're wonderful, Lord. And you've done this and that. Right? Get your praise on. I love it. Jehoshaphat says, the king, okay, get the worshipers. Get them up to the front. Yeah, they can be. Who does that? Who does that? In the natural, they might have been like, wait a second. We'd like a few soldiers in front of us, maybe, to protect us. But in the spiritual, they are the warriors, invoking and inviting the presence of the living God. Because he surrounds our praise, doesn't he? I don't always do it when I should, but there's days where stuff's coming against us. Sometimes we just need to take a pause, take a time out. Say, Lord, I just want to get my mind back on you. And Lord, I've got frazzled. Forgive me. I give you praise. You're the faithful one. But at that very moment, they began to sing and give God praise. The enemies started fighting against themselves. Verse 23, the armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. Verse 24, so when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of them had escaped. The way I look at that, that's a total victory. Without pulling out a sword from their sheath. Do we believe God? Let's start acting and living like it. What do you say? God, you're on my side, and you've got this. Lord, we don't know what to do. We don't have the answer, except that you are the answer. Whatever it is, whatever that comes our way, we can give him some praise. We can give him some praise. You know, some people have accused me in years past. Oh, yeah, you Christians, you just want Jesus there because you got to have a crutch. That's right. I do. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed to say I need Jesus. I absolutely do need him. I don't want to live without him. Because if he's going to be fighting my battles for me, then I got something that they don't have a clue about. And so I just say, yeah, he's my crutch, sure. You make fun of me all you want, but I'll be standing at the end of the day.
What's their crutch?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question because it could be one of many things or several. That's why we got to keep him in our life, right? Yeah, that's right. So, he's with us. He loves us. He wants to encourage us. He says, don't be afraid. I think a reminder to praise him and to keep our eyes on him. Pam.
When I was trying to answer,
yeah. Amen. There we go. That's a really cool analogy. I needed my daddy. Yeah. And he's faithful, church. I don't know what tomorrow brings. Might be wonderful times. It might be more difficult times. But can't we make up our mind today, tonight, that no matter what, we're still going to be pursuing him, we're still going to be running after him, and we're going to believe that he's able to take us through it. And you know what? There might be some of those times you may not have even known there was a battle, but you just said, Lord, I want you, and I praise you. And he takes care of the light work. That's what I do for Jim. I take care of all his light work. God's so powerful. I think that most of the time I don't give him half the credit he deserves. But I love these things, these wonderful accounts. Let's look at a New Testament account. Paul and Silas are in jail. Peter and John had been arrested. They had been threatened. Don't you preach in Jesus' name anymore? They were flogged. That sounds like a lot of fun. And God frees them. Paul and Silas, they had the shackles on. God sent an earthquake and an angel and said, hey, time to go. Let's go. We're going to go this way. And they just walk right out with the jailer. Led him to Jesus and his whole family. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of God. I'm just afraid that we limit him so much sometimes. I'm afraid that I limit him so much sometimes. When he can do incredible and amazing things. What was Paul and Silas doing when that happened? They were praising. In the middle of the night. I don't do a whole lot in the middle of the night, except for sleep. But when we can, let's praise him. Let's praise him. He's faithful, isn't he? Let's praise him right now. Let's praise him as we get ready to conclude. Father, we just thank you. We thank you because you are worthy. Lord, we thank you for these separate and different accounts in your word that teach us and show us that you're with us, that show us that you're capable, show us that you're able, that you say not to be afraid, and you say that I'll fight your battles for you. Just keep your eyes on me. Give me the praise that I'm due. Oh, we just honor you today, Lord. We thank you for your might. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your power. And Lord, we thank you for your beauty because you're wonderful. Oh, God, thank you. We give you thanks because your faithful love endures forever. Oh, we thank you for providing for us the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that our hearts and our lives can be cleansed by that precious blood of the Lamb. You're worthy, O God, and we lift you up today. Lord, I ask you to go with your people this week. Be with each one of them. Give grace. Lord, give boldness. Give faith. Give favor. And we just thank you, Lord, because of your grace. May we continue to praise you, Lord, all the time because you're worthy of it. We give you all the praise tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah.